The Property Pod. Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with Moneyweb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hello and welcome to The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this weekly MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading CEOs, analysts, developers, and entrepreneurs in South Africa's expansive property industry. Just a note that we have paused your city series on the podcast. That's with the mayors of major metros, as the elections have impacted their diaries a little bit, but it will be back sometime in June. On that note, we are going back to listed property stocks coverage on the podcast. There were a number of results out over the last week, including the likes of Dipula, Exemplar, Burstone, and Emira. On the pod for the first time is Jeff Jennett, CEO of Emira Property Fund, to share some insights on the group. Emira has been one of the most active property funds that's listed on the JSE over the past year, not only taking over residential-focused Transcend, but recycling assets, and the latest being the $1.2 billion, I believe, portfolio sale of Western Cape properties, or some of its Western Cape properties, to Spear REIT. That was post-year end. But to talk a little bit about the results, but also the group broadly, is Jeff Jennett, the CEO, as I mentioned. Welcome to the Property Pod, Jeff. Let's start on that note, the whole recycling and how busy the year has been for you.
Yes, thanks, Suren. So it has been a busy year, as has most years at Emira, because we always strive to do a little bit more each year so that tomorrow's starting point is going to be better than today. Our drive to create additional liquidity has been in place for a number of years, and this year has been particularly busy in that we've sold over 700 million rands worth of directly held commercial properties in this past financial year, together with close to 400 million of residential properties. And that cash, together with, as you mentioned, the Spear REIT disposal, which is the disposal of 13 of our Western Cape properties through to Spear REIT, will mean that we have a significant liquidity event happening later this year, which will add to our war chest of cash available. We will use that cash to park into our revolver funding facilities until we are ready to then move further with making an acquisition in a potentially an offshore jurisdiction, something that makes sense for us as Emira and for all of our stakeholders. But it has certainly been a busy year. And as you know, with Emira, we always look to recycle out of the bottom part of our portfolio. And I think recycling is a healthy thing to do because it ensures that you look to try and achieve top prices for your assets and then look to utilize those proceeds to invest into potentially undervalued other assets.
Well, the disposals that you talked about during the financial year, I see a couple of them got above book value. So clearly the right time that you sold there. But talking about liquidity and war chest, as you describe, acquisitions eyeing, are you not going to talk about where you're looking? Because Emira has offshore presence in the U.S. Will it look to boost that presence in the U.S. or are you looking at other regions, perhaps Eastern Europe, or is that overdone by South African REITs?
So it would be logical and easier for us to follow on with our U.S. investments, where we've got 12 open-air power centers. And these are big open-air shopping centers in various parts of the U.S., and it would be logical to do that. However, we battle to find the quality of assets at the prices we want to pay for those assets in the last 2 to 3 years. And that's just been because the higher level of interest rates and because the good assets just aren't available to purchase at this point in time. So unfortunately, it's unlikely to be in the U.S. as much as it would be logical to. And we are looking at other offshore jurisdictions. We as Emira will not share that destination or that particular deal until we are confirmed on that particular deal. Lots can always happen between discussions and legal documents and final deal closing. So once we've got a deal closing, we will then be in a position to share where that offshore destination will be, who it is with and what it's about. But rest assured that our model that we've used in the US, which is to co-invest with competent people on the ground that have got the right culture, that is in an asset class that Emira understands, and that together with its partners who have skin in the game can be better and stronger together. You'll see those same characteristics come through.
Okay, so then it's something to watch. But from your tone and some of your comments there, it's a new jurisdiction. Can I put you on the spot and ask which region?
No.
On the note of the whole U.S. expansion, I thought I'd be a little bit provocative. And there was a piece that we had in MoneyWeb written by Stanlib property analyst Nicholas Lyle. It was quite spicy, as the youngsters would say. The note was on SA's listed property sector, and we carried it in April. Under the section that he described as suboptimal asset allocation, and I quote regarding Emira, he says, "Emira's diversification into lower LSM open-air shopping centers," that's what he's talking about, "under the control of Emira's partners, a private equity investor, the JV is investing across various property types on a tactical basis all over the U.S. without achieving scale or strategic focus in any of them." That was quite a broad brushing statement there. But what's your response to this?
Yeah, so I think my broad brush response to this is that this is what I see as a fund manager type of comment that hasn't actually investigated exactly what we're invested into or specifically engaged with us in terms of why we feel this was particularly strategic, why we've got a joint venture that is under joint control between ourselves and our US partners, why we focus on only a specific subsector in the retail sector throughout the US, and why it's actually done extremely well. And from a diversification perspective inside a fund, it's exactly what Emira likes, and it is exactly the same type of position that you can expect when we step into our next diversification. So easy to sit inside a room somewhere without having consulted and provide a broad brush approach like that. But it's those of us that are in REITs and have been for a long time, we understand the value of knowing what we're investing into and making it work on an asset by asset basis rather than a broad brush approach, which actually was attempting to knock diversification. I think it's important that the funds themselves actually do their own diversification, whereas fund managers tend to think sometimes that they are the guys that should be doing the diversification. We as Emira are enduring for a long term, and so we're doing the diversification ourselves. And the beauty about that from our side is we get the benefits of the diversification, and our direct investors get that immediate benefit of that diversification too.
I know you're looking at other markets just as a follow-on, yeah. You still will consider acquisitions and growth in your US investment profile then?
We certainly will, but it has been challenging because it's difficult to try and find the good quality properties at the right price that fit all of our many criteria. So it has been difficult, and the truth of the matter is we haven't added another asset to our existing 12 in the last 24 months.
Jeff, on that note, Emira's LTV I saw in the results is above the key 40% mark. However, that has reduced in that financial year. It was at 44, according to the results document. With the extra cash that you talked about expansion and a war chest, but you know, you have a lot of money coming in from the sale to Spear, for example. Why not pay down debt and bring the LTV below 40%, which some fund managers and banks might like, as opposed to, expanding? What's your thoughts around this, especially with the high interest rate environment?
So we're very comfortable in terms of our level of risk that we take on as Emira. Our banking partners are also very comfortable with their exposure through to our good quality assets and are comfortable at the 42% level, which is what it is at the moment. And if we had to utilize all those proceeds, we would be down in the mid 30% in terms of loan to value. And that a fund manager might find attractive because there's less risk that's on the table. But we're in business, and if we can utilize our balance sheet effectively and we can tap into gearing in a conservative way that takes our gearing up to where we are at the moment, the 42%, and we can invest into something that's accretive, something that's value enhancing. We find the best that we can actually do. So we'll do that. But it's not just about just paying off all debt. Debt is sometimes a good thing when it's structured on a conservative basis, with when you've got cash flows that can comfortably service that debt, and you've got assets that comfortably cover those particular debt levels. So we could certainly do that, but we're in business, and if we find good opportunities, as we are looking at the moment, we will look to pursue that so long as it meets all of our necessary risk-adjusted returns and criteria.
Thanks for that feedback, Jeff. Turning to the FY24 results now, Emira said that it's not directly comparable because the previous year turned into a nine-month period because of the change in the group's year end, in line with its majority shareholders, Castleview Property Fund, which also listed on the JSE. But give us some highlights into the group's operational performance, Jeff.
Sure. So operationally, it was a strong year. So in this 12-month period, you're right, not comparable to the previous 9 months, but there's operational metrics that you can use. And for example, our 4.7% total vacancy that we had at March 23 has dropped down to 4.1%. So that's a particularly strong showing. And those improvements happened across all of our sectors that we invest into. A particularly notable one was that our industrial portfolio has now a 0.7% vacancy factor, which means that 28 of our 32 buildings are now fully let, 100% let. Even our office vacancies improved from a 12.5% vacancy level down to 10.9%. So those are important operational metrics. And if I look at what the typical rental reversions were that we've had in the past, last year we were sitting with a negative 8%, which is the reversion from old rentals to new rentals when you sign new leases. That's now improved down to only minus 3.3%. So that's telling you that the South African economy and the level of rentals are improving and have stabilized. So I think that's a good thing from a South African performance side. The other important thing is that as much as it's a challenge always to compare 12 months against 9 months, we shared with the market that the executive KPI target for our distributable income per share would be 118.5 cents for this current year that we've just done now, FY24, and we achieved 119 cents. So I think that's the important measure that you can see in terms of what we're comparing against. And I think that then shows that we've overall exceeded our planned targets.
I'm going to swap my last two questions around because you talked about the strong performance, but you can see that a little bit in the share price. Emira's share price year to date is up around 12%, one of the better performance in the REIT space from a share price perspective. It's one of just a handful that are up. Is Emira still trading at a discount? Can you give us some comment on that? Because a lot of the REITs are still trading at that discount to net asset value, which is quite topical still in the sector.
Yeah, so Siren, it's very topical and it's prevalent throughout the sector, basically across the majority of REITs, where we are trading at discounts to our net asset value. And that's investors taking a view on us that they don't believe in our net asset value. And certainly in the case of Emira, our liquidity is lower because of a large shareholder that likes what they see and have increased their stake to close to 60% in us. So there's only 40% of shares that are available for everyone else to invest into. So that certainly plays into it. But it's quite interesting in that our current share price is around about R9.55 at the moment. The dividend that we're going to be paying out on the 1st of July is 55 cents. So that would mean on an ex-dividend price that the share is worth R9. Now, if you take into account our executive KPI target of 120 cents, 120 and a half cents, in fact, for FY25, and our past year dividends of 117 cents, and let's just say you say 118 cents as what that dividend would be for the next financial year, you divide that by the R9, and you're sitting on a 13% yield. And that's got to be attractive in terms of just an income yield. Firstly, and secondly, you've seen the way that we've sold assets, 4 billion rands worth of assets we've got under contract. And all at an average premium to book value. So it's telling you that we are capable of realizing our assets at book value. So it's telling you that there's significant value uptick still available in our share price. So it's an anomaly that we have at the moment for various reasons. But we do know that over time, when we trade at discounts to NAV, we'll revert back to the mean. And when we trade at premiums to NAV, we'll revert back to the mean too.
What is the discount at the moment, just out of clarity?
It's a 45% discount to our net asset value.
That's EMEA specifically?
Correct.
Just on expectations, you talked a little bit about the guidance for next year. So it is higher. Your expectations for FY 2025?
So we're actually quite excited about FY 25 because we're creating this cash pile, and our plans of achieving 120.5 cents are pretty much well underway. And we plan to do better than that, provided that we manage to get these disposals through, which we will, and we manage to deploy it in a profitable manner, which we certainly believe and we know we've done in the past and we'll do again. So it's a big year where EMEA's offshore diversification will change from 19% to a higher number, which we think is a good thing. And we'll continue with our operational excellence. So it's a lot more hard work coming through, but something that we like and embrace and something that is delivered in the past and we certainly believe will deliver. So it's going to be an exciting year.
Before we go, Jeff, you mentioned a single biggest shareholder, and I gather that's the Castleview Property Fund, yes. Will EMEA remain listed on the JSE? Is there any possibility of it combining into Castleview at some stage, considering you say there is reduced liquidity and Castleview owning around 60%?
So it's always difficult to say definitively one way or the other. But there's nothing that's on the table that's been discussed that is going to be such that EMEA delists at any time in the near or medium term, based on the information that I have available. So you'll still see us on the listed sector for quite a while, I believe.
I actually thought of one last question. I'm sorry to keep you, but on Transcend, how is that acquisition being bedded down and your expectations around the residential side? Because there seems to be a lot of excitement around this multi-generational rental stock in the market with a new association having started earlier this year.
Yeah, so Transcend was an investment we made in 2018. We had a 34.9% stake. We took it up to 68% in 2022. And last year, we took 100% ownership and delisted it. And it's now fully consolidated into EMEA and running their business in accordance with the approach that EMEA conducts and runs our business. And it's certainly very well integrated. We've continued our sectionalization of certain units to sell off on an individual basis. It takes time, but in the context of last year, we sold off 540 units, individual units. And when you're selling off individual units, you raise much greater prices in the retail market than you do from a wholesale perspective. And that for us is good capital recycling. And then we've got that capital part of our war chest again. And then we can do it again if we decide to do that. So it's been a profitable venture into the residential market. It's been a good diversifier because the occupancies there are 97.4%. So that's a good number. And we like that. And we like our partnership with the IHS group, which manage those individual rental properties, residential rental properties. So it's working and working well.
Fantastic. Jeff, thanks so much for your time on the podcast today. That was Jeff Jennett, the CEO of JSE-listed EMEA Property Fund.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories. The Property Pod.